The word lament is a good word, but probably not the easiest subject for us to deal with at 10:21 on a Sunday morning. You likely come here to be encouraged, I think, to see some friends, maybe to meet new people, to be fed spiritually through word and sacrament, to sing God's praise. I think we come here for help with our lament, don't we? We come here for help with it, not to go deeper into it. Who gets out of bed and says, you know, really, I can hardly wait to get to church where I can really wallow in my lament. Gee, what fun that's going to be. Isn't that why you come here? I don't think so. So why are we embracing lament? Well, it's Lent, and Lent is a time when lament is really the flavor of the season. And this is part of a sermon series called Songs of Lament. And the songs are from the book of Psalms, and over the next few weeks we'll be looking at some of them. And yeah, this is Lent. It's penitential. It's designed to take us deeper into prayer and maybe fasting, deep repentance, to get us ready for the events that are coming in Holy Week, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. We also lament because it's a reality we live with each and every day. Lament isn't just for Lent, is it? I mean, wouldn't that be nice if it was only limited to the season of Lent? But lament follows us other days of the year. We don't always know when it's going to rear its head. Try as we might, we're not immune from lament. It's real, and it affects us. Let me say that when you lament, its presence in your life doesn't mean you have weak faith or you're being disobedient. Lament lives in our world. It lives in our hearts. It's real. It presents itself in many different shapes. Your response to world events, to suffering, personally, things that go on in our own lives, we lament. Lament is part of creation itself. The whole creation is lamenting until Jesus comes back and unveils the new creation. And as disciples, we do believe, we'll say it in the creed shortly, we do believe that Jesus conquered sin and death on the cross. He took it on himself and he disarmed it forever and he was raised again to new life. We also believe that evil is allowed to roam in the world and do some damage for a time. It is. It just is. Jesus talked about it. His apostles talked about it. And we experience it. So until Jesus comes back, or until we go to be with him, whichever comes first, we live with a certain amount of lament. The series is meant to help you deal with lament, but deal with it from the strong foundation of God's Word. I'm going to resist the temptation to share the latest findings from Psychology Today. That's not my field. Psychology is very important. I'm not trying to slag psychologists. They're extremely important at what they do. There are many helpful things we can learn from mental health professionals and counselors, absolutely. But here we're standing on the foundation of God's Word. When we stand on God's Word, we actually lament in a different way. We lament with hope. We don't enjoy it. We really like when it's over. But when we lament with Scripture, with God's Word, we lament with hope. We actually discover that we can actually have that blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, and we lift our eyes to Jesus in the lament. Under the guiding hand of the Holy Spirit today, I hope that Psalm 5 takes you deeper, not necessarily into lament, but for the times when you do lament, to go deeper into the mystery of God's grace revealed in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just before we dive into the psalm, let me read a description of how the Psalms of Lament work. This is from a very gifted biblical writer by the name of Derek Kidner. I'd recommend anything he's written, Derek Kidner. Here's what he says about the Psalms of Lament. The Psalms touch and kindle us. They touch and kindle our hearts rather than simply addressing us. So rather than simply speaking to us, they actually touch something deep inside. They have the shocking immediacy of a scream. They startle us into feeling something of the desperation that produced them. What he's saying is that the Psalms give us words to express the lament we feel. And in the middle of pain and suffering, the worst thing to do is bottle it up or pretend that it's not real or that you just need to kind of pull yourself up by your bootstraps. No, go to Scripture, find the words here which actually help you lament with the Holy Spirit, in step with the Spirit. That makes all the difference. Our first stop today is Psalm 5, written by David. And I'd like to say two things about the psalm. First is this: the Lord hears your lament. The Lord hears your lament. Now, if you're following along, it's page 771 in the Pew Bible, 771, Psalm number 5. If you're looking at it, you'll see in the first three verses that David assumes something as he's lamenting. He assumes that God is listening to him. David believes that God is right there, paying attention to his lament. And not only is God listening, he's actively listening. He's really paying attention. Not listening like a person who listens to you while they're texting with their smartphone or checking the weather app. What's the weather on Salt Spring Island today? Who cares? You're supposed to be listening to me. Not that kind of listening. Listen to what David says in the first three verses. He says, listen to my words, consider my lament, hear my cry, to you I pray, you hear my voice, I lay my request before you, and I wait expectantly. David is establishing the direction of lament. Where do you put your lament? Who do you talk to? He's saying, I talk to God, first of all, because God's listening. He really hears me. And not only that, he actually has the power to do something about it. He can actually help me in my lament. David doesn't pretend, this lament I'm feeling, oh, it's just kind of, it's not that important. People have bigger problems than this. I'll just kind of bury it and pretend it's not that important. No, he goes with it. He bears his soul before the nation of Israel, and he brings it to God. He does it because he seems to believe that God cares about his lament. God isn't just looking for you or interested in you when you're all happy and positive and feeling good about things. He actually cares about you in your totality. Whatever you're feeling and going through, David seems to think God cares and he listens. And the question is, who else listens to you like this? Who else listens like this? There are many amazing counselors and therapists in the world. They listen really well and they help people. They really do. This is at an entirely different level. This is completely different. This is David going to the one, and now this is really personal. Listen to what he says here in verse number 2. Hear my cry for help. I think you could put the word scream in there. Hear my scream for help. My King and my God, for to you I pray. That is extremely personal. That's something you discover when you meet the living God revealed in Jesus Christ. If you came to faith maybe later, after maybe you were younger, maybe you experienced this. I certainly did. When a person's first exploring God and finding out about faith in Jesus and Christianity, they'll often talk about God as being very distant and kind of removed from their daily lives. That's understandable, really, because they're coming to grips with the God of all creation. Thinking that the God who made the Olympic Peninsula and created life out of nothing is interested in me can be pretty overwhelming and kind of hard to get your head around. It can take time to realize that the God of all creation, the God who made those mountains, actually does care about you. And he wants to hear from you. He actually made you for a relationship with himself. He made you in his own image, not just to have you go about your life in a happy-go-lucky way and then die and return to the dust. No, he made you for a relationship that's meant to begin in this life and then carry on for eternity. We can see this most clearly in the Gospels, can't we, where Jesus interacted personally and compassionately with people from all walks of life. Here we have David using the personal language of a person coming to more than a friend, but it begins that way. The God of Israel is my king and my God, the God who revealed himself to Moses on Mount Sinai personally is the same God. The God who chose unfaithful people and said, I'm going to marry you in a covenant of marriage. And I know that in about 2 weeks you're going to start running around and you'll want a divorce, but I'm going to be faithful to you because I've chosen you, because I love you. This is the God David's addressing here, my King and my God, or as Jesus teaches us in the Gospels, our Father. You see, Jesus takes us even deeper, doesn't he? He says we can actually call God Abba, Father, which is very personal and relational. First of all, God hears your lament. He hears you. He wants to hear you. So don't ever think he doesn't want to hear what's really going on. The other thing here from the psalm is this. Not only does the Lord hear your lament, he actually carries it. He carries it for you. You'll notice if you're following along that I'm going to be skipping really more to the end of the psalm. There's a section in the middle that has to do with judgment. And this isn't because I don't want to talk about this, not at all. This does have to do with lament. The middle section, judgment, is really David's talking about the people who have no time for God. What are they going to inherit? Well, they're actually going to lament, but they're going to lament as people who have no hope. That lament eventually is just going to end up in an eternity separated from God. It's going to be an eternity of lament, which is really horrible to think about. He wants to name that. He wants to name it because really, this is an encouragement to us not to lament like those people, but to move to lament as David models it here. To lament with God. To lament to the God who hears you, and now, in the end of the psalm, the God who carries your burden. David's rooting his lament in the reality that we know and experience in our own lives. Again, lament is real. Even as David names the raw experience of lament, he gives us some beautiful imagery. Listen to verses 11 and 12. He said, "Spread your protection over them. Surround them with your favor as with a shield." Please remember this as you go away today. You know, if you don't remember anything else, remember that God's word equips you to lament. Lament with honesty and truth. Even as you do that, lamenting with the knowledge that God is carrying your lament. That God can actually help you. Now, he's not going to take away all the lament. That's not reality. That's not the reality anyone's ever experienced in life, not what Jesus certainly went through. But God has an answer for the lament. He has strength in the lament. This isn't a prosperity message which says, you put faith in Jesus, you'll never suffer again, you'll be happy, all your dreams will come true. Not at all. This is a word that says, no, lament's very real. Lament is really caused by sin, which is why Jesus went to the cross. We want to learn how to carry it with hope and know that God is carrying it for us. If you had to carry your own lament, what would happen to you? Maybe you're doing it now. Maybe there's something that's a real burden and you've really been carrying it for a long time and it's a heavy load. Left to itself and its own devices, it eventually grinds us down. It weighs us down. Lament's hard. Lament is a hard thing for a disciple to carry. So if you're carrying it without hope in Jesus, how do you cope? Here we have a message to God's people, the church. The message is that the Lord spreads his protection over us as we run to him for help. As we lament in his direction. Not just simply throwing up our laments to the heavens, someone up there, please help me. This is calling out to the God who knows us and loves us. This imagery here in verses 11 and 12, it's the same imagery that Jesus used as he looked at Jerusalem before he went to be crucified. Remember what he did? He wept. He lamented over the hardness of the people's hearts. And remember the imagery that he used? He said, I long to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks. That ties in with what David's saying here. Spread your protection over them. Lord, spread your wings over your children who are struggling right now. That's the imagery Jesus uses. But again, Jesus doesn't say, my children will never lament. No. He's saying, I long to gather you. I long for you to turn to me for protection and help. When you're lamenting, direct your lament to me and listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd who says, come home. And as you come home, I'm going to carry your lament for you. For the times when you lament, remember Psalm 5. It is a spirit-filled message of hope. Again, this is not a false hope. It doesn't promise prosperity. It doesn't promise immunity from the lament virus. Not at all. Instead, it's truth rooted in God's word. This word in Psalm 5 speaks into the lament. I think it says basically, look, God hears you. Whatever kind of lament you ever have, God hears you and he carries it for you. He gives you hope. And again, how can we not think about Jesus taking up lament, taking up the weight and carrying it to the cross and dying for us? And then how can we not think about the Lord God breaking the power of lament when he raised Jesus from the grave? Yes, we lament, but we lament as people of hope. Hope in the risen Lord Jesus. So this Lenten season, this time of penitence, please don't run from lament, but lean into it. You won't enjoy it. It's not pleasant. But lean into it. Name it for what it is. And then take it to the Lord in prayer. Be encouraged by his voice speaking in Psalm number 5. Let's pray. Lord God, you have chosen us for a relationship. You've shown us here in Psalm 5 that not only do you hear us when we're calling out to you, when we're screaming for help, but you help us carry the load. You carry the biggest part of the load for us. Jesus already carried it on the cross. Lord, thank you for this gift of grace, and pray that your word would touch our hearts today, would thrill our minds and our senses as we worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen.